I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is called election interference and yet another attempt to rig and steal a presidential election. More importantly, it's a political persecution like something straight out of a fascist or a communist nation. This day will go down in infamy, and Joe Biden will forever be remembered as not only the most corrupt president in the history of our country, but perhaps even more importantly, the president who, together with a band of his closest thugs, misfits, and Marxists, tried to destroy American democracy. But they will fail, and we will win bigger and better than ever before. Charging a former president of the United States under the Espionage Act of 1917... wasn't meant for this. An act for a crime so heinous that only the death penalty would do, and threatening me with 400 years in prison for possessing my own presidential papers, which just about every other president has done, is one of the most outrageous and vicious legal theories ever put forward in an American court of law.
Those are the words of President Trump, defiant, defiant, after he stood in court yesterday in Miami and had to hear 37 federal charges leveled against him, pleading not guilty to each charge. And then from there, he headed back up to the north and had a large gathering. In fact, some of the state-controlled media was absolutely amazed. So many showed up to still support him. They do not get it. They do not get it. They're doing the same thing they did the first time around. They're underestimating the man and his power. And this latest effort, which is political persecution, as he described it, is going to galvanize the Trump base stronger, and it's going to pull more in. It's going to be a magnet. And they will look later and say, well, how the hell did that happen? You're to blame for it. We got a lot to cover on this today. Thanks for joining us. We are, of course, live streaming during our noon hour. You can go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA, or you can enter News Talk STL. I looked at the numbers yesterday. You folks continue to amaze me how many are watching either live or pull it up later. But I do thank you for joining us. Here we are, June 14, 2023. This is Flag Day, and is also Donald Trump's birthday. Born this date, 1946, so his birthday present yesterday got unwrapped for him. Here are your federal indictments, Mr. President. And, of course, within those indictments and the way they're worded, they want to focus on the Espionage Act. Trump took that and turned it around.
The Espionage Act has been used to go after traitors and spies. It has nothing to do with a former president legally keeping his own documents. As president, the law that applies to this case is not the Espionage Act, but very simply the Presidential Records Act, which is not even mentioned in this ridiculous 44-page indictment. Under the Presidential Records Act, which is civil, not criminal, I had every right to have these documents. The crucial legal precedent is laid out in the most important case ever on this subject, known as the Clinton Sox case.
You're right. You heard it correct. The Clinton Sox case. Now, I want to break that down for you, because when he said that, a lot of folks, what is he? He's talking about Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton? And Sox? What does that have to do with anything that we saw yesterday in court? Well, let's go again and hear to the issue as it's seen by the former president, Donald Trump.
After leaving the White House, Bill Clinton kept 79 audio tapes in his sock drawer. They included discussions of U.S. military involvement in Haiti, discussions of U.S. foreign policy, both defense and offense, against Cuba. Recordings of President Clinton's conversations with all of the many foreign leaders at the time. Think of that. Sensitive facts about trade negotiations taken from presidential briefings. Discussions with the Secretary of State about conflict in Bosnia and much, much more. Very big stuff. Not only was Bill Clinton never even considered for criminal prosecution based on the tapes he took, but when he was sued for them, he won the case.
Well, now, let's stop there and break this down for you. By the way, in the midst of all of those documents and tapes, also were tapes with Monica Lewinsky. All right, let's break it down for you. First of all, I want to read a piece from you from the Wall Street Journal, an opinion piece by Michael Bekesla. I'm just going to read you the opening part. It's an opinion, a commentary, so keep that in mind. He's not parading it as a news narrative or news story. Title, Trump's Boxes and Clinton's Sock Drawer. And then below that, a president chooses what records to return or keep, and the National Archives can't do anything about it. May I repeat that? And the National Archives can't do anything about it. And the indictment against Donald Trump, he goes on to point out, does not really cite specifics along that line as to what the president can or can't take. Now, again, I always like to give you both sides so you can make your own decision. I have my thoughts. You may have different or the same. But I will remind you, this last Sunday, former Attorney General William Barr rejected claims that Donald Trump's indictment is a continuation of the witch hunt that plagued his presidency. Barr admits that's what Trump was going through, but he says this is not a continuation. And again, the indictment against Trump does not cite the Presidential Records Act, but they say the charges are predicated upon the law of the Presidential Records Act. The indictment coming about only because the government thought Mr. Trump took records that did not belong to him, and the government raided his house to find any such records. And, of course, since we know about Bill Clinton and his sock drawer, I guess they'd say, let's search Melania's sock and lingerie drawer at the same time, which they did. The Presidential Records Act of 1978, let me give you a quick background on that. 1978 is when it was enacted. 4 years after President Nixon resigned, his resignation. The Presidential Records Act established that presidential records belong to the U.S. government, not the president personally, and must be preserved. But then again, that's not cited in these charges against him. The Presidential Records Act changed the legal ownership of the official records of the president from private to public and established a new statutory structure under which presidents and others must manage the records of the administrations, the National Archives. Now, I'm not making this up. I'm reading it by detail. If you're watching right now on Rumble, you can see that I'm referring to material. This is not pie in the sky. When I deal with these things, I put facts in front of you. I have opinions. I put those in as well, but I also give you fact and detail. Very few programs do that. They'll talk and they'll bounce around about this, or I think it may be that. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. Now, the issue about the sock drawer. Again, in part, Trump was right in the way he described it. As recorded by historian Taylor Branch during conversations he had with former President Bill Clinton just before the end of his two terms in office, that case was involving 79 audio cassettes, including not just Clinton's ruminations on his 8 years in the Oval Office, things he might have been saying around night, having a whiskey, talking about, you know, I got like today, I got to do this. I don't know what he said. I could care less. They're his private conversations, and they belong to him. And they included apparently controversial subjects and topics like Whitewater. Remember that one with the Clintons? And his affair with then-intern Monica Lewinsky. Well, I might want to hear more of that. Also capturing some phone calls and discussions Clinton had as part of his official business that happened to occur while the recorder was running. The contents of all of these were, again, put into a sock drawer, all these cassettes, 79 different ones. The final ruling came down in favor of Clinton because of two main factors. He designated those materials as personal records rather than official presidential records while still in office. And the other factor being they were ruled in court to be tantamount to personal diary or journal, items that do not fall under the classification of records to be turned into the National Archives upon the completion of a presidency. Now, Trump is saying, look, this is not any different than that, and look at what they're doing to me. And, of course, the coverage of the state-controlled media reference to what happened in Miami yesterday. Wall to wall, wall to wall, more walls, add more walls, more rooms. Coverage of Donald Trump being charged with federal charges, 37 counts. And then the remarks he uttered when he went back up to Bedford, New Jersey. I've got a quote here from CNN and NN saying, his remarks were among the most chilling ever uttered by a major figure in U.S. modern history. All right, we're going to take a look at the coverage on the state-controlled media reference Trump, and then, of course, how they're dealing with audio tapes existing between Hunter and Joe Biden, alleged tapes, talking to a Burisma executive discussing $5 million bribes, all passed to the FBI informant, Form 1023, which the FBI has redacted like a turn signal. It's on again, it's off again. It's on, it's on, it's on, it's off. Senator Josh Hawley questioning the FBI deputy director.
Let's just get the record straight. The FBI director initially said it doesn't exist. Then Senator Grassley said, I've read it. Then he said, oh, okay, well, gotcha. I guess it does exist. Now you're going back and forth with members of this committee. What's in it? Why don't you just release it? Is it classified?
The document is not classified.
Okay. Will you commit to releasing it?
Senator, we'll take that back and we will work with you in this committee.
How about just a yes or no? Will you commit to releasing this unclassified document that alleges that the President of the United States, the President of the United States, has taken $5 million or more in bribes from a foreign nation?
The document has already been released pursuant to a subpoena to the House Oversight Committee.
Has it been released to this committee?
We will work with this committee within the parameters that are established to meet
the
request.
Release the document to the public? It's unclassified. Don't you think the American people have a right to see it?
Senator, the document, as you know, contains sensitive information that has bearing on the life of the source of the information, potentially.
You can redact the source's name. We do this all the time.
They do it all the time. They just strike a name out. But this time, I guess they don't have the redaction pen. Well, again, he got pressured this time, the FBI director being, deputy director being pressured by Senator Ted Cruz.
The FBI is stonewalling. Would you agree?
Two things, Senator. No one's stonewalling. The 1023
you just said you refused
was provided
to answer the question.
In response to a subpoena.
Okay, then why did you refuse to answer my question?
The pertinent information is there, and I reject your assertion that the FBI is politicized.
Why did you refuse to answer my question?
I just answered your question.
Okay, so yes, you have a 1023. Do you have the 17 recordings, yes or no?
I'm not going to get further into that.
So you're stonewalling. You can't say I'm not refusing to answer your question, but I won't answer your question.
I'm going to answer within the parameters that we operate in.
That's the problem. The FBI has right now an unlimited hubris that you believe you are unaccountable. You don't believe you're accountable to the United States Congress, and you don't believe you're accountable to the American people. And you are doing damage. The FBI is a great institution. When I go home to Texas, people ask me, should we abolish the FBI? Now, I tell them no, because you have heroes and patriots working for you that are catching child predators, that are catching terrorists. But you're sitting there happily erecting a wall to protect Joe Biden.
That is the key point. And they know it. And the state-controlled media knows it because they won't even touch this damn story. Radioactive Biden, stay away from it. Now, Senator Cruz is asking about the tapes. You've acknowledged you got them. Are we going to see the tapes?
Will you provide to this committee not the House, the Senate Judiciary Committee. Will you provide the FD 1023 and will you provide the 17 recordings so we can assess what is the evidence, the specific credible evidence that Joe Biden personally took a $5 million bribe from a foreign national?
Senator, we will work with this committee, you and other members, to provide the information within the parameters of the process.
Will you provide the FD 1023, yes or no?
I will take that back and we will work with our
team. So you're not answering that. Will you provide the 17 recordings?
We will take that back and we'll work with you.
So you're not answering that either. Did you investigate in any way, shape, or form these allegations?
Senator, once again, I'm not going to comment.
So you're not going to say whether you did your job?
We do our job to the very best of our ability.
Well, not here. You're not answering a single question to the American people. And you may think this is esoteric. I promise you, millions of Americans are concerned. You know who isn't concerned? Not a single Senate Democrat. We're going to go through this whole hearing. Not one Democrat will ask a question about this. You know who else isn't concerned? The corporate media, who is joining with the Democrats in covering up this evidence.
Point made, Senator Cruz. Thank you. And again, that deputy director is in front of the Senate because the FBI wants to extend the FISA warrant. Senator Josh Hawley said, why should we do that when we look at how you've used it to target Trump and conservatives? You've abused that power. Now you want more? We're going to have more on this coming up in the second hour. In the second hour, we're going to have more on this. Also coming up, a hate map. A hate map which targets parents who are trying to protect their kids from woke predators. You, your state, your area, your school district could be on that hate map. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. When I endorse a product, I want it to be a quality product I put my name behind. That's why I'm recommending when it comes to windows, you go to Renewal by Anderson. Start by calling 1-877-WINDOWS, 1-877-WINDOWS. They will start by finding out where you're losing energy, driving up costs in summer and winter. They have the nation's best warranty, 1-877-WINDOWS, or go to their website, rbastl.com, rbastl.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. The Southern Law Center, originally, when it was originally put together, was basically going to do a good thing for the American public. It was going to be identifying hate groups. It was going to call them out, especially racist hate groups, the Klan in particular and others. But lately it has become a weapon, no surprise here, of the far left who simply wants to target anyone they don't like. You become a hate group. You're a Christian, you're part of a hate group. You're Jewish, you're probably a hate group. You are white, you're a hate group. You're a parent concerned about your children, you're a hate group. And they have listed, they have expanded and started focusing and saying, these areas, these people, these groups, the Southern Poverty Law Center says, are hate groups. Helping us break it down is Tyler O'Neill, managing editor for the Daily Signal with the Federalist. Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, glad to be here. Also wrote the book, Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yes, sir. In fact, I was going to bring that up as well. That was published in 2020, but it's still, it has a bearing directly on today. So here we have, as you point out in your piece for the Daily Signal, that what better group to trust than the Southern Poverty Law Center? After all, it bankrupted the Klan, then had monitored hate groups for decades. If they say you have haters in your neighborhood, maybe you should pay attention. And then you add, not so fast.
Yeah. So many people might not know, but the SPLC has had many scandals in the past. Not only have they branded mainstream conservative and Christian groups hate groups and putting them on that map with the Klan, but they've also had a former employee come out and say that the hate accusations are a highly profitable scam aimed at bilking donors by exaggerating hate. And, you know, I've been covering them for years and wrote the book, and I went through the list and the hate map, crunching the numbers earlier this week, and came to the conclusion that they're exaggerating hate by at least 267%.
Whoa. 257% exaggeration?
Yeah. So what they do is they say there are 1,225 hate groups and anti-government extremist groups that they have on this list. And they make the data available publicly so you can go through it. Well, it turns out they list different chapters of organizations as their own hate groups. And then they list mainstream conservative and Christian groups that have nothing to do with hate. And then they list groups that barely exist at all. And so once I got through all of those categories, I realized that there are only 459 hate groups on the SPLC map that might potentially actually be hate groups.
And one of the groups you deal with, a lot of Missourians and the Illinois residents as well would be aware of, the Eagle Forum, founded by Phyllis Schlafly to oppose the Equal Rights Amendment when it was being pushed. And it's among the hate groups still?
Yes. No. So it's interesting. Eagle Forum is still around today, and they still do some good work. Of course, some of their chapters are very, very small. So naturally, you know, the SPLC decided, oh, we're going to brand Eagle Forum an anti-government extremist group. You know, this after decades of the SPLC never going after Eagle Forum, never thinking that Eagle Forum was anything like a hate group. But then they just add them to the list, and instead of having, you know, one Eagle Forum, they have 16 different chapters of Eagle Forum listed and plotted on the map. And so, you know, if you look at, you know, I think Illinois and Missouri are both states that have them. If you look at those states, you'll see Eagle Forum, and then you'll see listed lower down, you know, Grand Knights of the KKK. And
as if they're one and the same.
Right, exactly.
Well, let's take another analysis you broke down. You were looking at Bridget Gabriel, Lebanese American, founded ACT, ACT for America, Act for America, to warn about the threat of radical Islam that overran her birth country. And now it's a hate group.
Yeah, I've met with Bridget many times. And, you know, she makes some statements about Islam that I may not agree with, but she has a heart for the United States, a heart for Lebanon, and she saw her country, which had been the jewel of the Middle East, overrun by radical Islamist terror. And so she's raising concerns about the rising, about Islamism here in the United States. And this is radical Islam, mind you. This is not, you know, Islam is a complex religion. And it's a religion of law, which means that you have different Muslim sects that follow different things. But, you know, you have to be insane to deny that there are some forms of radical Islam that lead to terrorism. And what she does is warn against those forms of radical Islam. For this, the SPLC puts her on the map. By the way, a few years ago, she had 47 different chapters listed on the hate map. And that even came in 2020 when I spoke with an Act for America organizer, wasn't actually Brigitte, but he said that they had retired their chapter model. So no longer does Act for America have any chapters. They're just one organization. But still, even this year, you know, the SPLC has 13 different Act for America entries on the hate map.
So you're listening to Tyler O'Neill. He's overseeing the managing editor of the Daily Signal and with Heritage Foundation. I said the Federalist earlier. I meant the Heritage Foundation. And, of course, also author of the book Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, again, they're showing how they do make money and get money in because they keep saying, here's another hate group. But they go beyond just pointing out a particular group. They put everybody in the city, the county, the state under a hate umbrella.
Yeah, well, what's interesting, they have these statewide chapters, and it's not clear what evidence they have that these organizations are statewide, because for a lot of groups, the SPLC says, oh, we found this chapter, and we name at least the city and the state where it is. So there's a decent chance maybe that group exists. But then for a whole bunch of them, you know, for Proud Boys and Patriot Front organizations that appear, you know, Proud Boys has 25 entries on the hate map that are just listed as statewide. In other words, the SPLC can't pin down where they're actually meeting, but the SPLC claims that they're active in that state. This is, you know, that should be setting off a lot of red flags for people because the SPLC won't specify.
Well, and on top of that, all these parents that show up at these school board meetings trying to protect their children from woke predators, they're now all considered part of hate groups.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the real bottom line here, is that this year the SPLC decided to put the parental rights movement on the hate map. And this means 220
chapters. Parental rights
movement
is a hate?
Yes. So what they do, they call them anti-government extremist groups. They're not technically called hate groups, although they're put on the hate map, and they're called extremists. So it's clear the SPLC knows what they're doing. They're still tarring these groups. But essentially, you know, a few months ago, I was somewhat prepared for this because I read an SPLC article where they were comparing groups like Moms for Liberty and Parents Defending Education to the Uptown Klan of the 1950s that were, you know, parents organizing to pull kids out of schools as a protest to the desegregation.
You know, I'm thinking homeschoolers, you must really be the hater. They really got to be a hate group, right, homeschoolers? Very quickly, because in our closing seconds here, I mean, I'm just, again, you're listening to Tyler O'Neill, author of the book Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tyler, I probably will not have you back again because I'm willing to bet you're on a hate group.
Well, I am not.
We'll fix that.
Is not. Yeah. One day. But in all seriousness, the hate group accusation has inspired a terrorist attack and does carry negative impact.
Yeah,
so while we can laugh about how absurd this attack is, it does carry weight.
And it is dangerous. Tyler O'Neill, thank you very much for your time. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, Tucker Carlson releasing another episode. Stand by. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Whatever else you say about him, Trump is the one guy with an actual shot at becoming president who dissents from Washington's long-standing pointless war agenda. And for that one fact, they're trying to take Trump out before you can vote for him. And that should upset you more than anything that's happened in American politics in your lifetime. Yes, Donald Trump is a flawed man, but his sins are minor compared to those of his persecutors. In this life, we don't get to choose our martyrs. We can only choose our principles, and America's are at stake.
America's principles are at stake. That's part of the latest episode that Tucker Carlson just released yesterday, following, of course, Donald Trump appearing in a Miami courtroom and being read 37 federal charges, of which his attorney responded not guilty to each charge. And then he got on a plane and went back to his golf club in New Jersey. And the state-controlled media was absolutely bonkers. They expected him to come out and groveling and covering his face like a convict that had committed another crime and just trying to shield himself like he's a member of the mob or something. And then he dare go back to his golf course in New Jersey and he's greeted by crowds cheering and yelling for him and singing happy birthday for him in advance of his birthday, which is today. I mean, they're appalled. The state-controlled media can't restrain themselves that you still love and like the guy. Now, I know not all of you do. I know that. I know some of you are kind of maybe on the fence. But I see more and more they're saying, you know, I don't like Trump. But I don't like what's being done to him. That was the point of Tucker Carlson. You're going to hear more from Tucker Carlson in our second hour. And I want you to hear some more perspective he puts on this thing. But for right now, let me give you a little bit more of the leftist viewpoint. As I say, I always try to give you balance. I'll give you my opinion. I'll give you balance. And when I cite material, I'm not just pulling out of thin air. I'm going to give you details. For instance, we're going to talk about Flag Day before we wrap up. I don't know if you know the history of Flag Day. I want you to actually know it. Let's go back to Donald Trump now. Here's the way CNN and NNN wrote it on their page for today. And as I read this, you can imagine the malice of the person typing this in. And it's a shame we don't have the actual typewriter. You bang the keys. Now that you got hit, your very little knocks and clicks on your keyboard. You want it loud. I mean, because the anger is fuming. Here's the way it reads. Donald Trump went from courtroom to campaign trail in the blink of an eye on Tuesday. Boy, they ticked. And yes, campaign trail, he raised a lot of money also yesterday. And then they say went from courtroom to campaign trail in the blink of an eye on Tuesday, underscoring how the 2024 election, which should address the most pressing issues of the American people, has become a mere tool of his criminal defense strategy. Well, now, who's to say the most pressing issues of the American people is not the fact our government's been weaponized against the American people, and Trump is just the one that they're sticking all the barbs they can in as he stands between you and the future, if they continue. Yes, we're worried about inflation. We're about open borders. We're worried about this and a lot of things that are on Americans' minds. Is Trump's persecution or prosecution, if you want to use that term, your major concern? Not necessarily. But the fact that the entire federal government was mobilized to destroy him, as Tucker Carlson said a moment ago, before you even have a chance to vote for him, they're trying to destroy him. By the same token, let me remind you, before you could vote for Biden and Trump in that election, they concealed information about Biden. State-controlled media, along with the FBI and the big tech companies, all decided that just no words, no talk about the Hunter Biden laptop. NPR's attitude is, we do facts, and that is fiction. It wasn't. And the FBI knew it. The FBI had had the laptop for more than a year before the story broke. And then they're trying to keep it under wraps, and they're going around and telling all the state-controlled media, listen, there's another case of Russian propaganda coming up, and Trump's behind. There was never a single Russian collusion story. It was all manufactured by a fake dossier signed off and bought for by Hillary Clinton and her campaign. And on top of that, the FISA warrants, which now the FBI say we need more of them so we can do more wiretaps of Americans we suspect might be involved in something. They were lying to the judges about the validity, and they knew it was invalid. But again, here we've got the write-up by CNNN. And here's, I love this second sentence. So this is all one sentence. Somebody needs to teach these people how to edit. My God, that's a long sentence. I'm going to read it without taking a breath. This is the way it appears. After scowling in crossed-armed silence as he became the first former president to be charged with crimes by the federal government, Trump quickly transitioned to a Cuban cafe in Miami where he lapped up the adulation of supporters singing Happy Birthday. There are a lot of ways to break this sentence up, but they were just, how dare people sing Happy Birthday to him in a Cuban cafe? Because Cubans have escaped Fidel Castro, and they know what a dictatorship looks like. Then they add, later at his golf club in New Jersey, that twice impeached. Now, I'll remind you again, you can impeach in the House, but he wasn't convicted by the jury of the Senate. The twice-impeached former president, the front-runner for the 2024 GOP nomination, falsely presented himself as a blameless victim of a tyrannical government, ignoring the 37 federal charges against him related to alleged mishandling of classified documents. Damn it, which is it? CNN, which is it? You're saying he falsely presented himself as a blameless victim, and yet at the same time they say you're ignoring the 37 federal charges against him related to, quote, alleged mishandling. You can't have all of that. If you're going to be a good journalist and writing it correctly, you're going to say, maybe you say he presented himself, you don't even say falsely. When you put the word falsely in, you're already editorializing. You're saying that he presented himself as a blameless victim, which he did, of a tyrannical government, which again he did, ignoring the 37 federal charges against him, which he did pretty much as far as throwing it all under the rug, related to alleged mishandling of classified documents. May I remind you again, he's not convicted of a damn thing. And we were talking earlier, and if you missed the beginning of the program today, you want to go back and hear about the case he raised about Bill Clinton and his socks drawer, which had dozens of audio tapes that he declared that were his property, and he won that case. Now, they're trying to tell you that has nothing to do with the same thing. I'm not a legal expert. I'm not going to tell you what the law is because you can get opinions on either side. We'll see how it shakes out. And, of course, they don't like the fact that in Miami, the judge that just by rotation, a spin of the wheel, just happened to come up, is a judge who got appointed by Trump. The left doesn't like that because she might actually be fair. Fair. Not partial to Trump, just simply fair and follow the law, which is what they should do. Am I right? Yes, Larry, you're right. Thanks for asking the question. So Trump does his thing. He goes back, and again, I'm reading now an opinion by CNN, and I'll give you this, an opinion piece by Jim Filippico or something like that. If I got the name wrong, I'm not trying to do it wrong. He's just a journalist based in New York, author of the book, Okay, Boomer, Let's Talk How My Generation Got Left Behind. What the hell that has to do with anything, I don't know. He goes on to say, Tuesday marked a sad and stunning moment in American history. A former president arriving at a federal courthouse, then put under arrest by U.S. Marshals, accused of placing the nation's security at risk in the mishandling of classified documents. Did they do that to Joe Biden? Because he mishandled documents too, didn't he? Left them in a garage, left them everywhere. As did Vice President Pence, as did Obama, and Obama just simply took some. Did they do again any of that again? No, they didn't. But what I'm looking at here, the way he begins by writing, you know, that's arriving in a federal courthouse, put under arrest, there is no mugshot of him. They were hoping again for a mugshot. You know why there was no mugshot? Because they said, and I think you'd agree with this, I think even the left would have to agree, he is so well known, we know what he looks like. We don't need a mugshot. And again, he's now back and celebrating today his birthday. And, of course, we're all celebrating Flag Day, which we're going to talk about.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town & Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Just listen to those kids say, do you remember doing that in school, standing up in class doing that? Everybody did. You stood. Maybe it was coming up with a speaker for all the classes to do the same thing at that moment. Now they basically don't even want a flag in their nation, in our state, or any of our schools. This is Flag Day. Always celebrate June 14th. Commemorates the adoption of the flag of the U.S. June 14, 1777, by resolution of the Second Continental Congress, passed June 14, 1777. That was 13 stripes, alternate red, white, and the Union be 13 stars, and now look what we have. And it is Donald Trump's birthday. Now, I want to remind you of something. Yesterday, just by chance, of course, I knew today would be Flag Day, but it wasn't on my mind when I looked up. When I looked up, I was going through a shopping area, and the wind was blowing, and I just happened to look up, and there was, it just captured me for a moment. There was our flag in all of its glory, blowing in the breeze. And I thought, you know, we just sometimes don't think about and putting that in there and keeping it in there. And we don't forget often about the price that got paid for it. Now, the thing about that, I absolutely just stood there on the steps till I had to move for somebody coming up. I have to admit it's been a long time since I just simply stopped where I was and looked at our U.S. flag blowing against a blue sky, and what you feel with that. May I encourage you to do the same thing. I also want to remind you that we did not have in our pledge until 1954 the words under God. That was not in our pledge. One nation under God. President Eisenhower put that in. It's been in the pledge since 1954. And it was done to distinguish us from the atheistic Soviet Union and other such countries. But it means so much more than that. It should. That's why I always end our programs asking you to remember and in fact honor and praise our pledge, one nation under God.